If you guys would for me, turn in your Bibles. We've got two texts tonight. The first one is Romans chapter 7, verses 14 through 19. Again, Romans chapter 7, verses 14 through 19. The second is Galatians 5, 16 through 25.
Did you repeat that?
Yes, sir. Romans chapter 7, verses 14 through 19. And Galatians 5, 16 through 25. You know, I think oftentimes when we read the Bible, we read it as if it's this ancient historical book, right? It's a collection of people, places, and things altogether different than the world that we live in today. And this perspective, it kind of creates a sort of distance between us and the Bible. You see, we might read the Bible, we might consider it necessary to read the Bible, we may even believe it to be true, but we don't actually see it really applying to our lives, our everyday life. And at the end of today's message, I'm going to ask you guys a question, and here's what it is. Do you believe this message applies to your life? Do you believe this message applies to your life? My hope for you today is that you're going to recognize this and this book not as a good story, a novel, or some ancient historical document. Not even something worth reading or studying, although that's important. No, my hope is that you're going to recognize this as the living, breathing Word of God. The very fountain of living water. And I want you to see and be witness to its transforming power. May you find hope and encouragement in today's message. Now, I've titled today's message, Your Own Worst Enemy. And the Apostle Paul in his letter to the Romans sets up today's lesson perfectly. I don't need to add anything to it. So listen carefully to these words again. Romans chapter 7, verses 14 through 19. Here's what it says. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh, sold under sin. For I do not understand my own actions. For I do not do what I want, but I do the very things I hate. So now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask you to come and be present with us, Lord, as we do every time. Lord, I can already feel your spirit moving tonight, Lord, in the songs and the music, Lord, in the praise and the story about my roommate, Lord, in the transforming power of your grace and your spirit. Lord, I ask that as we dive into your text, that you will reveal these truths to us. Lord, that this fountain of living water would quench our thirsts. It would answer the questions that we have. That it would conquer the doubts that we have. Lord, I ask that you would raise these men up, that you would encourage them today, and that you would speak through my words to bring your truth, Lord, and to draw these men into the light. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So these words from Paul here, they feel a little familiar, maybe? Well, they do for me. When I read this, to me, it felt like Paul was standing directly in front of me with a big old mirror, holding it up, and I was staring at a reflection of myself. You see, Paul here is exposing a truth that we all need to wrestle with today, and that is this. As human beings, we are not basically good. We're not even a little bit good inside, guys. Not even a little bit. And what Paul is exposing here in his letter to the Romans, is that we are the exact opposite. He says, for I know that nothing good dwells within me. Well, that explains a lot, right? That explains a lot. You see, and more than that, Paul's using himself as an example here. He's not looking at the people around him. He's not looking even at the Romans and pointing to them saying, you are evil, they're evil, all these people around me are evil, and their intentions are for evil. No, he's looking at himself. He's looking directly at himself and declaring that he is evil, that there's nothing good in him, and that he continues to do what is evil and not what is good. This is the Apostle Paul one of, if not the greatest of the early church leaders. And yet, he's willing to admit, willing to recognize, and willing to confess this evil that exists within himself. And I got to say, I think we need to be as honest with ourselves as Paul has been here. Wouldn't you agree?
Man, yes.
I think we need to be as honest with ourselves as Paul has been here. We are not basically good people. We're not basically good people living basically good lives for basically good reasons. We need to recognize this first before we press on. We need to see ourselves in the true light. And this true light exposes us for what we really are. And correct me if I'm wrong, but here's what I think. I think we're a deeply selfish, deeply self-centered, deeply self-pleasing people. Everything we do is for our own gain, is it not? Our motivation for whatever we do ultimately traces back to one source, me, ourselves. But maybe you're ahead of the game, all right? Maybe you've already recognized this. I might be preaching to the choir here. Maybe instead you're wondering, why? Why am I like this? Maybe like Paul, you're willing to admit that your desires, the intentions of your heart, your motivations are all in fact self-centered. Maybe you've got to that point already. Maybe now you just want to understand why. And that's a fair question. And to answer that, we need to dig deep into Scripture and return to the creation of the world found in the book of Genesis. Now, I'm not going to take you guys back there. I'm not going to lay out the entire creation story for you. But we need to look at some important points before we continue. First of all, we need to recognize and affirm that God created man, that God created us. We're not autonomous beings. The world would like to tell you otherwise. We don't exist independently. We are not gods of our own. We were created. More than that, we were created in the image of God, it tells us in Genesis, fashioned in his own image and made to reflect his glory. But as most of us know, our first fathers, Adam and Eve, they didn't survive long in that paradise. Being deceived by the devil and upon eating the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, their eyes were opened to a spiritual reality. They were not at all like God, as the devil had promised them they would be. And they were ashamed at their human nature. They were ashamed at their nakedness, and they hid from God. And here we see the great chasm of separation between God and man, right? It is at this moment that the world as we know it was first introduced to what is called sin. It was at this very moment that we see the true distinction between what is the spirit of man, the spirit of flesh, and the spirit of God. Because of Adam and Eve's choice, we're now separated from God. And we're bound to this spirit of flesh that is always and ever pointed away from God. It's a spirit that's always directed inwards towards ourself. And this is our true human nature now. This is the reality that we're all born into. And this is the why that we're searching for, right? Why am I like this? Well, here it is. It's our answer in Scripture. Now, if this is all there was, and if we were left to ourselves and our sinful nature, this would be an incredibly sad and depressing reality, right? But thanks be to God that he didn't leave us or abandon us there. But instead, he worked from all eternity to bring about the plan of redemption through his son, Jesus Christ, on the cross. And it is in this fact, through the work of Christ and our acceptance of him, that we are given the greatest gift and the greatest weapon against ourselves. You are your own worst enemy, gentlemen. But by accepting the work of Christ, you are given the greatest weapon and the greatest tool against that spirit of the flesh. And it is the Spirit of God.
Yes.
And now the stage is set. Ring the bell. Here we go. Guys, we got to have a war. We have a war on our hands. We have an absolute war on our hands. These two forces, these two spirits, the spirit of flesh and the spirit of God, are constantly opposed to each other. The spirit of flesh that exists in us by nature is what constantly pulls us, draws us away from Christ. And away from the things of God. It is a nature that is directly opposite the Spirit of God. Listen to what Paul says again here. Now, this from the book of Galatians. Here's what he says. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. How similar does that sound to Romans? And there we have it. I can't say it any better than that. I don't need to say it any better than that. The spirit of flesh and the spirit of God are always opposed to each other, always at war with one another. Are you starting to connect the dots here? Why do we constantly find ourselves in a struggle to do the right thing? Why does it seem like we're constantly fighting an uphill battle with ourselves? Well, I believe Scripture's just giving you your answer. Before we are regenerated, before we accept Christ, before the transforming work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, we are wholly sinful, slaves to sin, unable to do anything other than gratify the desires of our own flesh. But upon accepting Christ, we are given the Spirit of God, the powerful Spirit of God, and now being able, through Christ, to do the right thing. But this doesn't mean that our sinful human nature goes away. I think we all recognize that, right? Mm-hmm. This doesn't mean that it's going to be easy from here on out. This doesn't mean that we're not going to have these battles, that we're not going to experience these difficulties, and that we're not going to fail. No, just as Paul says, he himself struggled with this because the two spirits are constantly fighting against each other. Does this make sense when you guys look at your lives and the decisions that you make? Does it make sense now when you think about the struggles that you encounter? There are two spirits. If you've accepted Christ, there are two spirits at war with each other in your soul, for your soul. There's the spirit of the flesh that would have you kept in darkness with a shade over your eyes, blind to the darkness that you're in. And there's the spirit of God trying to break through with light. Now, again, this doesn't mean that we can sit back, grab the remote and a bag of popcorn and just let these two spirits duke it out. We're not passive here. We're not cheerleaders on the sidelines rooting for two different teams. Not at all. You see, God gave us a will and the ability to make free choices. And so the question becomes, gentlemen, what will you choose? Will you choose to gratify the desires of the flesh, or will you choose to gratify the desires of the Spirit? Will you pray against the desires of your own sinful human nature? Will you stand before God and name the things that you struggle with and say, I need help. This is a struggle of mine. This is a vice of mine. Will you lay it before the cross? Or will you allow yourself to fall again and again into temptation and sin? And here's where it gets really convicting, okay? So strap in. Then look again at Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. Paul here is describing what are the works of the flesh. Now, Mark's already been over this before, so you guys should you at least have a little bit of a barrier here. But listen to these words. These should convict you. They convict me. Now, the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I think that about covers it. Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, but I think if we're really honest with ourselves, if we're as honest as Paul is going to be here, this is exactly what the inside of our hearts look like. I'll stand up here and admit it. Amen. If nobody else wants to, I will. This is what Paul means when he says, there is nothing good that dwells within me. He's talking about this. These are the desires of the flesh. This is the darkness that's fighting against the Spirit of God within your soul. This is what Satan ultimately wants you to do. He wants you to participate in these things. This is what our natural, sinful human nature looks like. I am my own worst enemy.
Yes.
And what does Paul say about it? He says this, I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Yikes. If we choose time and time again to gratify the desires of the flesh, if we participate in these things that I've just named, to give in to our sinful human nature, we will not inherit the kingdom of God. We will not be participants in eternal life. That's serious. And this is why, my friends, this is why Christ, the cross, the gospel is absolutely essential. Without it, we would never enter the kingdom of heaven. But through Christ, by the work of His Spirit, we can overcome this nature.
Yes.
Let's take a look at the other side, okay? What are the works of the Spirit of God? What does it look like to participate in the things of God? What does it look like to stand in the light, to be a part of the light? Here's what He says. Look at verse 22 now. But the fruit of the Spirit of God, Spirit of God, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Now, I don't know about you, but this is the side I'd like to be standing on. When all is said and done and my life is complete, I want to be able to say that these were the things that characterized my life. God gives us that opportunity. He gives us the ability to choose these things over the darkness. Have you ever noticed that the longer that you practice something, the more time you spend doing a certain task, the more time you spend thinking in a certain way, that it becomes easier and easier to do so? The more times you go get on your computer and start hitting up those websites, the easier that gets. The harder it gets to say no to it, the easier it gets to go down that path. It works both ways here. I mean, practically speaking, the more time that we spend thinking about ourselves, trying to satisfy ourselves, focusing on what will get us what we want, the easier it will become. The more it becomes a habit. Didn't it get easier, gentlemen, to say yes to drugs the more times that you took them, the more times that you participated in that? Didn't it get easier to say yes to alcohol the more times you drink? I don't know about y'all, but stopping at two beers doesn't happen very often. It's a slippery slope. It's a downward spiral that ends in death. In death. I'm not saying that for effect. Here's what it says in the Bible. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin. The result of participating in those things is death. But here's the best part. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. If you have accepted Him, you have power over that darkness. You have power over your own soul. Choose life today. Christ has already paid the price that you could have eternal life in Him. He has already offered the Spirit of God to you. He has given you the greatest tool against yourself. He has given us the victory. Guys, we know the end of the story. God will be glorified. Which side will you be on? God will be victorious. Which side will you be on? Verse 24 says this, back in Galatians. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. Put it all on the cross. Put it all on the cross. Hang your sins up there. Hang your vices up there. Hang everything that you've done and everything that you will do. Hang it all on the cross. Put away your old self. Now is the time. Not tomorrow. Now is the time. Put away yourself and the darkness of your own heart. Christ is your only answer. He's my only answer. Daily answer against the desires of the flesh. And He is our only solution. You see, we are not as those who are without hope. But that hope can't come from within ourselves. Don't be fooled, okay? If you rely upon yourself and your own strength, you will fall. Because I have many times. Lean on Christ. Set your hearts on Him and put aside the desires of the flesh. God isn't asking you for perfection. He got that in His Son. He doesn't need you to try and be perfect. Christ was perfect for you. He isn't asking you to keep your slate clean. We know that's impossible. But what He is asking you to do is to run towards Him with all you've got. Run that race. Run the race that He has set before you. Put your trust and your hope in Him, and He will give you the Spirit of God to defeat the darkness in your own heart. Pray that His transforming power reshapes your life and renews a right spirit within you. You see, we might be our own worst enemy, but we also have the greatest ally. Christ Jesus is on our side. Let's pray. God Almighty, we are grateful today. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for the cross, for the work of your Son. God, if we were left to ourselves, if I was left to myself, I would not be standing up here today. Nor would my roommate have survived his own addictions. Nor would any of these men be here, Lord, without your grace, without your restraining hand upon us. God, help us to choose you today and tomorrow and every day after that, Lord. May we set our eyes, may we set our hope fully upon you, God. Give us the strength, Lord, that we do not have within ourselves to defeat the powers of darkness. Lord, help us to put away our old selves and help us to step into the light, into the marvelous light of your grace. I pray that over these men this evening and over myself as well. Help us, God, and help our unbelief. In Jesus' name, amen.